All right, now we want to talk, I think, about the biggest event that's going to come. That's the return of Jesus Christ to earth, as he promised he would do. And today we're going to examine Scripture to learn how to recognize, the signs of Christ's return. And joining us in the discussion is Britt Gillette. He is the author of BrittGillette.com. It's a website that examines the relationship between Bible prophecy and emerging technology. He's also author of Conquest of Paradise, an End Times Nano Thriller, which is a novel about the development of molecular manufacturing. And so welcome to KKMS Live. It's nice to have you, Britt.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure. Well, we should, Jeff's kind of a geek, and I am too to a degree. We should get you back sometime to talk about nanotechnology and the coming era of molecular manufacturing, as well as how that'll impact the world. But before we get into that, an examination of the signs of Christ's return, tell us a little bit about how you examine the relationship between Bible prophecy and emerging technology.
Well, ever since I was a teenager, I've always been interested in Bible prophecy. And when I was in college at James Madison University in Virginia, I got interested in the business side of technology. And then I came across this interesting concept about molecular manufacturing, which is the ability to use software control to position the way molecules fit together.
Yeah, explain how that's going to, when we get into that, when that actually takes place, talk just briefly, because we're here to talk about biblical prophecy, but I think people will appreciate the significance of that when you explain a few things of what that will, what'll happen, what kind of impact that's going to make.
Of course. Well, actually, this leads back to just a couple of years ago. There was a column on Newsmax where the author had written about Chinese development of super weapons. Mm-hmm. And one of the weapons that he mentioned was molecular manufacturing. And people had written in and they had said, you're nuts, you know, even if they developed this before us, you know, we have nuclear weapons and they'll never attack us. Well, I wrote him back and I said, actually, the concept of mutually assured destruction would go out the window as soon as molecular manufacturing is created. And the reason is because this technology allows the very cheap manufacture of virtually anything. Much the way we can actually see this technology at work today when we plant a seed, and without welding anything to it, hammering anything to it, just the inputs of water and sunlight make that seed grow into a plant. We ourselves are molecular machines. We start as a few cells and grow into adults without any factory manufacturing our parts. And so once we are able to have software control over this process, it will allow the country or nation that has it to literally conquer the world overnight. In a 1986 book called Engines of Creation, Eric Drexler, who was the man who coined the term nanotechnology, wrote about just how this technology would completely change the arms race. And one of the things that he wrote was that we would be able to, the nation that came up with this technology, even if it was as small as Singapore, could build an overwhelming force overnight, and it would be as if fighting sticks and stones against machine guns.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
No contest. And where this fits into Bible prophecy is in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. It talks about the Antichrist riding out and conquering other nations. And he rides out on a white horse with a bow and no arrow. And traditionally, people have thought that that means that he uses diplomacy in order to lure nations into his deceitful web, when in reality, it could very well mean that he conquers without using deadly force. Because once you have molecular manufacturing, you're able to build those science fiction nanobots that go in the bloodstream that we've all heard about for decades.
Right.
And they could go in and simply pluck out molecules out of the bloodstream until a foreign enemy falls unconscious without injuring them physically, and you can take over their territory.
Exactly. And then, you know, combine that with the ability to do our genome mapping, you'll know exactly how to deal with a specific illness without the, what we do right now essentially is carpet bombing as opposed to, you know, a laser extraction. And so it'll be amazing in terms of the length of life that will increase when all this happens. But that's for another show. But it does kind of tie into what we're talking about right here, because this is where technology does tie into Bible prophecy. And you mentioned some of those things. But let's start, Britt, with I'm going to read from 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. We'll start from there. We'll get and then give you give us a little bit of an overview of what's going on regarding that. And that'll be our question. Sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay, so 2 Peter 3, 3 through 4 says, first of all, you must understand, and this is, by the way, prophecy given to Peter, right?
Yes.
And he's explaining that. He says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So that's the first thing to kind of kick off. In other words, everything, you know, where is, you know, we hear that now. When is he coming back? He's not going to be coming. You know, you guys are delusional. There's no Jesus going to be returning. You guys are nuts. You know, you're waiting for Godot.
We've
it's
heard
not
that
going to
before.
Happen. Yeah. You know, everybody's been saying that forever. And everybody's also been saying he's going to come back in our time. So you hear both those kinds of things. Either he's never coming back or he's going to come back during my time and on earth. So let's start off with that. Is it true that things are the same today as they were, as they have been for 2,000 years?
Absolutely not. Even though there's been a number of people who have gone up and sat on a hill and thought that Christ is coming back any minute, our generation is the very first to see the signs that are found in the Old and New Testament that point to the end of the age. This is where technology could fit in. Jesus Christ himself, when he was asked by his disciples, what is the sign at the end of the age and you're coming, he talked about you will hear wars and rumors of wars, you'll hear about famines and earthquakes, and he said he likened these signs to birth pains, mm-hmm. labor pains of someone about to give birth. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're about to give birth to a new age where Christ rules. And when you examine labor pains, they, as time goes by and you get closer to the big event, they increase in frequency and intensity. And so what he's saying is look for events on the earth to increase in frequency and intensity. And that's exactly what we see. If you look at World War II, obviously that was far more devastating than any battles in the Old Testament. We have bombs that are more powerful. We have weapons that are more powerful. All of these events take place more frequently. And when you look at technology, look at the power and the intensity with which it's transforming and the rate that it's taking place. Just in the last 100 years, look at the changes. We've gone from the horses, which people rode back in Peter's day when things were exactly the same, to riding around in cars and flying to the other side of the earth in less than a day. The things haven't remained exactly the same. And you just look. I don't see how anybody can make that argument when you look at what's taking place. I mean, just in the last 10 years, we have an iPod that is one-tenth the size, one-tenth the price, and 10 times more powerful than the state-of-the-art desktop computer I bought 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're definitely on a path and a time that is unlike no other we've ever seen.
Well, as you well know, the thing about technology is that it increases in power exponentially. So it's not an even ramp in terms of the abilities and functions that technology performs. So in other words, things that used to take, let's just say, 10 years to develop could maybe take a month to develop in the future, so to speak, because we use the incremental technology that we learn to create more powerful and new versions of it, less expensive, requires less power, smaller, whatever, mm-hmm. more function. And so that's what's interesting about all of this from the technology perspective is that it can increase the rate at which events can occur.
Yes, and actually if you look at people who are in the secular world who examine technology, they are predicting the exact same things that Jesus Christ did. There is an event that many people are looking forward to called the singularity.
And singularity, I've never heard that term.
Okay. The singularity is basically a point in time at which the rate of increase of our technology is so rapid that the human mind can no longer comprehend it without being part of the technology itself.
In other words, what do you mean by that?
it sounds
like the Borg coming along here.
The Matrix.
In other words, you're going to have a computer for a brain in order to understand all of the powerful technologies around you, which means that you're going to not just have to adapt to a new technology like a cell phone or an iPod, but you're going to have to become part of that technology if you want to be able to understand what's going on around you.
Well, that's an interesting observation, because to some degree, some of these things kind of happen with maybe a very rudimentary thing would be a hearing aid. Okay, it's part machine, part hearing. You know, it does certain things for us. Glasses are another thing. Some people are getting artificial hearts, things like that. So is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
It would advance well beyond that, with people eventually being able to download the what's in their mind into a computer network, much the way you exchange information between your computer and your neighbor's computer and a website.
So you'd be able to download all of your knowledge into some central repository, so to speak, that then would be able to be accessed by others if you allowed it, that kind of a thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's correct.
And interesting, because then we talk about the increase of man. Now, I mean, what the Internet has done, we're going to pause and we're going to come back. What the Internet has done, though, is something that I remember talking about computers in the early days, and I was like, okay, the computer, you know, it knows everything. Well, it doesn't. It only knows what you put into the thing. What the Internet has done is taken all of these computers that are throughout the world and given you access to information that's out there. So now it's really easy. If you want to look up the lyrics to a song, bingity bang, there you go. You don't have to wait for the song to play on the radio and write down real fast. You can just go find it very quickly, and other things as well. And so that's an exponential increase. It sounds crazy, but look at the things around you that are going on right now and tell me if those wouldn't have seemed crazy. We're talking with Britt Gillette. He's author of Conquest of Paradise, an End Times Nano Thriller. His website is BrittGillette.com. We've got that linked at our website. We'll come back, talk more, and get into some of the specifics about what are the signs that we have to observe for Christ's coming.
Yes, indeed. 651-289-4499 is our number, 888-332-5169, the toll-free number. And again, links to Britt's site are up at ours at KKMS.com.
KKMS Live.
This is wonderful.
With Jeff and Lee.
Thank you for everything you do.
This is KKMS Live. Pleasure to have you tuned in this afternoon. We're talking with Britt Gillette, author and commentator. He's got a great website, BrittGillette.com. We're discussing biblical prophecy. I'm Lee Michaels.
And I'm Jeff Schellen. And the take that Britt has on it, he's looks at technology and how emerging technology reveals signs of Christ's return, things that have been prophesied long, long time ago. And we started talking about, you know, from Peter, 2 Peter 3:3-4, about how things, you know, haven't really been the same for the last 2,000 years. There are some things, significant things, that have changed. One of those things that really started the clock was the gathering of the Jews in Israel, and that was foretold in Ezekiel chapter 37, right, about 2,700 years ago.
Yes. Actually, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah all discuss that God would gather the Jews back in his land and then in the last days. And the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, talks about the Valley of Dry Bones. And in this vision that the prophet has, he sees these dry bones lying in a desert, and they start to come together and form, and muscles and flesh come onto the bones, and then life is breathed into them. And it's explained to him that these are God's people, and that they would be left for dead, and they would gather together slowly until God breathed life into them. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 66, God says that he will make Israel a nation again in a single day. And he says, who has ever heard of this, a nation born in a single day? Well, in the times of Peter and his ancestors, that was unheard of. Nations gathered together slowly over decades and centuries. But in our time, you can go before a body like the United Nations and make a declaration of nationhood, and you become a nation if you're recognized. And that's exactly what happened to Israel in May of 1948.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That's what's so fascinating about this is that Israel, okay, they had been dispersed and they came back together, and they had been, you know, in the land, you know, working it. And Britain essentially said, "Okay, go ahead, take it over." The United Nations agreed, you know, especially after what had happened after World War II, and you know, the extermination of so many Jews. They wanted to give them a place, a country once again, and that did happen May 14th, 1948, which is a significant event because it starts kind of an indication that this is the generation, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of definitions. What does it mean to be a generation and these kinds of things as prophesied? But that is a significant event in biblical prophecy.
Yes, I would say it's overwhelmingly the most significant event. Nobody can deny it. Everybody saw it happen. Everybody's seeing it happen. In fact, if you look at Psalm 83, it describes Israel's enemies surrounding her. And it says they surround and they say, "Come, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence." And we see that very thing happening today.
Absolutely. And what's kind of fascinating about this, when you look at the way nations come and go, I mean, if you were to predict the United States being around 2,700 years from now, you might not want to do that, you know? You know, there's this country going to be, the United States is going to come back, you know, whatever. I mean, how could you predict something like that 2,700 years ago and then actually see it come together without saying, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Britt Gillette is our guest, 651-289-4499, if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's get a call in from Rick in Hopkins. Hi, Rick. Welcome to KKMS Live.
Hi, guys. I had a question for you. This is something I've been struggling with. To be honest with you, the only thing that I, in my personal opinion, we can trust is that Christ will return. A lot of the ideas of, you know, when the trumpets and when the seals are going to, you know, appear and all that, and the rapture stuff, I think it's kind of conjecture. And I just was wondering about your opinion regarding, you know, are today's people like, you know, like maybe Hal Lindsey and the Left Behind series, people like Jenkins and others, are they, how do I phrase this? I'm concerned that it's Bible prophecy according to them as opposed to the Bible, and I just was wondering about your opinion concerning, you know, the old times according to Hal Lindsey as opposed to the old times according to what the Bible was originally intended.
Well,
and that's my question.
I'm not quite sure I get the phrase of your question, because Jesus, you know, said, you know, we aren't going to know the date, but we'll know the season. And I think that's what those guys have been talking about. Or are you talking about a different aspect of how they present the
answers? I think the whole, you know, the whole tribulation idea of when things are perhaps going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that, you know, with the Left Behind series, which is enjoyable, mm-hmm. that I'm struggling with anything but, you know, as you say, everything but the return of Christ. I certainly believe that we can trust that.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. You're talking about anything like pre-trib, post-trib, those kinds of discussions.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, is it the Bible according to Hal Lindsey, Bible prophecy according to Hal Lindsey, and the newer ones as opposed to what the Bible says and what the writers originally intended?
Yeah, because right now we're focusing on Christ's return.
Oh, okay.
Which is different than the tribulation. I mean, the tribulation and the rapture. So we're talking about Christ's return, but... Britt, your opinion on that, because there are
different viewpoints
on pre-trib, post-trib, and what will become, you know, what are the Jews' role, you know, what's their future, all those kinds of things when we talk about these things. And it's very confusing, obviously, to people outside the church. They're going, you guys can't agree on anything, let alone, you know, those of us in the church who, you know, just don't understand how to take their take on these things.
Sure. From a personal standpoint, I subscribe to the pre-tribulation standpoint, which means that the rapture will occur before the tribulation, and mm-hmm. those who believe in Jesus Christ now will meet Christ in the clouds at some unspecified time. Christ says, I'll come like a thief in the night when I'm least expected. And then the tribulation would unfold, and 7 years later, Jesus would come and establish his millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, certainly there's plenty of room for people to have differing opinions and still love Jesus Christ. So my advice would just be to read the Bible and pray to God and go where the Holy Spirit is taking you.
Well, I have the same opinion. I mean, it's not something that we know. It's going to, you know, it's not, in other words, you're not a Christian.
Right.
You're a pre-trib, post-trib, whatever. If you're convinced of it one way or the other, I'm not going to fight that kind of thing. But there are some that are saying if you There's the, what do you call them again?
There's preterists.
Preterists, yeah. The preterists, essentially, their belief could lead people to think that there's no future for the Jews because these things have already occurred. And, you know, in terms of the 144,000 witnesses, for example, they've already come in the form of, I guess, you and I or something along those lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
Sure.
So that's where it would make a difference to some, I guess.
And that's where those of us who read the Bible and who are led by the Holy Spirit need to stand out there and correct people who say those things. God made a promise to Abraham that his people would live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that God could break that promise and there's somehow a new covenant with the Gentile people and he broke the old covenant is saying that God broke a promise. And so why couldn't he break his promise to us? He said, I will be with you until the very end of the age. And I believe that. And I know that the Jews are his people. It clearly states so. And he's with them. All these nations that are aligned against Israel, in the end, they will lie in ruin. The Jews will survive because God has ordained it.
Very good. We're talking with Britt Gillette. We're going to take a quick pause.
Yeah, let's come back and talk about the rise of the Gog-Magog alliance, because that's something that's of interest in terms of events that are occurring today regarding Russia and Iran, et cetera, and armies surrounding Israel. The other thing that I want to ask you is, you know, some who aren't familiar with biblical prophecy ask, you know, what makes those passages from Scripture prophetic? They might say you're just reading into what you now want to line up with events that, you know, have taken place, so you can say, hey, there's a fulfilled prophecy, for example. So maybe that's something that we could address for people.
Absolutely. 651-289-4499 is the number if you'd like, if you've got a question or comment for Britt, or 888-332-5169, a toll-free number.
You're listening to KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee.
Really enjoy your show in the afternoon.
651-289-4499, the number. It's KKMS Live. It's Lee Michaels.
And Jeff Shaw. We're talking with Britt Gillette. He's author of Conquest of Paradise, an End Times Nano Thriller. He's also the author of BrittGillette.com. He's got a lot of excellent articles there online. And we're talking about signs of Christ's return. And started with 2 Peter talking about, you know, things have always been the same. People think that things have always been the same. Well, they really haven't been the same. Significant things that have changed is Israel's restoration, coming back as a nation, as prophesied by Ezekiel, Valley of Dry Bones, for example, and how flesh has come back on the bones. We also talked about Israel becoming a nation in a single day, as prophesied in Isaiah 66:8-9. It says, has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But the United Nations did, in one day, on May 14, 1948, bring a nation, Israel, back into being. And then talking about the rise of Gog and Magog alliance. Now, this was prophesied in Ezekiel. And in 38:14-16, I'm just going to read just a little bit of this, and then we'll get into it in terms of what's going on right now. It says, therefore, my son, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. When my people are living in peace in their land, then you will rouse yourself. You will come from your homeland in the distant north with your vast cavalry and your mighty army, and you will cover the land like a cloud. This will happen in the distant future. I will bring you against my land as everyone watches, and my holiness will be displayed by what happens to you. Then all the nations will know that I am Lord. Again, written in Ezekiel 38:14-16. And when let's just get into this, using the term Gog, you know, who is Ezekiel talking about? And then let's say, what makes that a biblical prophecy? Why do we say that that's a, you know, that's prophecy as opposed to other things that we sometimes read in the Bible? You understand what I'm asking?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Well, Gog is the leader of Magog and Meshish and Tubal. These are Old Testament tribes and people that surrounded Israel. And how this is a prophecy is due to what we know from the Old Testament and what we know from maps and things that were handed down through the generations. We know that this nation to the uttermost north is the current nation of Russia. And so this is a clear prophecy made 2,700 years ago that the leader of this nation would go out with a mighty army against the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and when I said before, talking about Israel coming back, and how could you predict Israel coming back to, into being, here it's talking about Gog. So Gog hasn't come back. It's Russia. So they would say, right. Wait a second here. You know, you're kind of having it both ways there. You're not using the terms that were used in the Bible. How can you respond to that?
Well, I would just say you know, of course the Bible isn't going to use the names of modern nations, or people may not have named them that. I have I can't really say.
You understand what I'm saying? But Israel is named after, you know, Israel. You know, it has a specific identification, and
right.
So. Persia changed the name too.
Yeah, Persia changed
the
name.
I think it shows how miraculous Israel becoming a nation once again is, because where are the various peoples of the Old Testament that fought against them? Where are the Philistines? Where are the Ashkelites and the Melchites and,
yeah,
and the
exactly.
various people that fought wars with them?
Right.
Where are the Babylonians? Where is their nation? It hasn't come back.
Well, Babylonians, couldn't you say that would be Iraq?
But yes, the people who reside in that geographical location would be Iraq, but mm-hmm. no people with a distinct
no
culture and genetic ancestry like the Jewish people have survived over hundreds and thousands of years after their nation was dissolved and then reconstituted as a nation again.
Right, that is the amazing aspect of that. They've maintained their identity, their cultural identity, even though they were dispersed and they have all returned over all of these years. So that's an example of Russia, for example, as we identified these names that were given because they were tribes in that time, people that lived in that land. Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Russia. Persia is Iran, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting in light of, for example, today's headlines talks about Russia. They've been selling weapons to Venezuela. Hugo Chavez despises the United States. This isn't a Middle East situation, but what's interesting about this is an indication of the regained influence and power of Russia because of their petroleum reserves and things like that. Also, Israel is going to be attacked without support. Right now, the United States supports Israel. We would come to her assistance. So this might be talking about something. Is this perhaps talking about a time when the United States has no power or influence?
Yes, it very well could be, or a time when the United States abandons Israel sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about the sign of the Gog-Magog alliance is that just a few years ago, this wasn't really a sign that we could see. There's no historical alliance between these nations, between mm-hmm. Russia and Iran and Libya and Turkey, but there is now. Vladimir Putin just signed a landmark arms cooperation deal with the nation of Libya. They have been providing Iran with help in its nuclear technology. They've been using the United Nations and their influence there to help block the sanctions that the Western world's trying to bring against Iran. We are seeing this nation of Russia basically come away from democracy and back toward the Soviet Union-style dictatorship under the tutelage of Vladimir Putin.
Exactly. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I was just going to say, I mean, so this is an example of what we're watching before our very eyes,
yep.
and we shouldn't be surprised by this, but in a sense, it's kind of amazing that we're around. It's all kind of falling into place. If you really look at these things, since 1948, that was the kind of the countdown, and now we're starting to see these events unfold. So it's things to be aware of. And again, we're not trying to say go sell your house, move to the top of a hill, and wait for Jesus to return. We don't know the hour, but we do know the season. Jesus said we'd recognize the season, and we're trying to say, hey, these are some interesting things. The fig tree is starting to bloom here a little bit. And let's move in now to an area that's probably your wheelhouse, and that has to do with the last days in terms of travel and knowledge increasing as prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 12. What do you want to tell us about that?
In the book of Daniel, he was told to seal up the book until the time of the end when travel and knowledge would increase. And as we stated before, 100 years ago, people rode around in horse and buggy, and now they fly around to the other side of the earth in jet airplanes. Travel has definitely increased. People used to spend a whole lifetime and not go more than 50 miles from where they were born. Now they're moving all around the world. Knowledge has definitely increased. the internet, the number of people that go to universities, the number of people worldwide who are literate and sharing knowledge. So definitely travel and knowledge has increased. And if you look at just the technological signs that are written about the last days, there are several prophecies which prior to our generation or shortly after our generation that could never have come true. For instance, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, it states that God's two witnesses will be killed and that for 3.5 days they will lie in the streets while the whole world stares at them. Well, how could this, other than by supernatural means, this could not have been fulfilled in previous generations? But we see today the ascendance of 24-hour cable news networks, live video satellite feeds. We're seeing the proliferation of handheld devices where people can ride to work and watch TV on their their Palm Pilot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the cost of these devices is going down exponentially. And we will reach a day when everybody in the world has access to this technology. And literally the entire world will be able to watch an event unfold on the news. So prior to our generation, this is something that could not have been fulfilled other than by supernatural means. Another example of that is Revelation 13, the mark of the beast. It says that no one will be allowed to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Well, this is an extremely powerful hold over economic freedom. I mean, going back to the times of Peter, if any government tried to shut down commerce, black markets always emerged. So what this is telling us is there has to be a technology that enables a government to utterly control the money supply, shut down black markets, have worldwide surveillance to make sure that no one is capable of buying or selling without permission. That's a powerful sign that we're seeing develop in our time with international banking, and especially we mentioned earlier molecular manufacturing. Well, when you have a technology that powerful, a person is able to manufacture something with atomic precision, what do you think that will do for a counterfeiter? it'll be impossible to tell a real $100 bill from a counterfeit one,
right?
Because every single molecule will be in its place. So what does that mean? That means that currency can no longer be used. You have to have some electronic means, a database that can verify either that the money is real or that the buyer or seller is who the buyer or seller says they are.
Exactly, and that's where we come into the idea of the mark of the beast, and that has nothing to do necessarily with chip implants and things like that we see right now, but it might be the idea of conditioning us to accept these kinds of things down the line. We're talking with Britt Gilletti, author of Conquest of Paradise, an end times nano thriller, as well as he's author of his website with many excellent articles there at BrittGillette.com. We have that linked at our website. We'll come back and wrap things up, go into some more of the technology things. Any questions that you might want to bring up, feel free to do so.
You can do that by calling 651-289-4499. More KKMS Live is coming right back.
You're listening to KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee.
Thank you so much for your show. I listen to you every day
on AM 980 KKMS.
651-289-4499 is our number. It's KKMS Live with Lee Michaels.
And Jeff Shell. We're talking with Britt Gilletti, author of Conquest of Paradise, an end times nano thriller. His website is BrittGillette.com. We've got that linked on our portion of the KKMS.com page. Look for us. Click on that. You'll see all the links. We'll also have the audio posted later in case you missed some of this. You can go back and listen to it as well. We've been talking about signs of Christ's return. We've been going over them and how things have changed. And in fact, Jesus was very harsh on the Pharisees the first time around, saying, "You didn't recognize my signs, when I came." He rebuked them for not recognizing, his first coming, and they had full knowledge of the Old Testament messianic prophecies, and they still chose not to believe him. And so, it's important for us to understand. Again, we don't know the specific date he's going to come back, but it's important for us to know, as wrote in as Matthew says, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day, right?
And sailors so, take warning.
Yeah, that's right. So we're trying to look at the things here that indicate the return of Christ, and it's interesting how they're all seeming to be lined up at this point. So it's just it's good. We don't want to be ignorant of these things, right? So you've written well about them. What are some other things that we can talk about in summary here? We've got about 6 minutes or so. How would you like to, what would you like to leave us with here during this last segment?
Well, I think just what you just said, people need to be alert to the signs. What watching these signs does is it keeps people motivated for holy living. Because if you think Christ is coming back tomorrow, you're going to live a lot differently than if you think Christ is coming back in 30 years or 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a profound effect on your life. And for people out there who don't know Christ, it's a great tool to witness to them and tell them about the good news of, you know, Christ died for your sins. And here, look at these prophecies. What other philosophies or religions can show you that they predicted the future 2,000, 3,000 years in advance?
And you know
the answer is none.
Very good. You know what, Britt? It's being proven to find that biblical prophecy not only encourages us in our own faith, those of us who are solid in the Lord, it reveals that the Bible is a supernatural document, not written by men, not invented by men, but it's something that God revealed. And these are the things that he included in there to kind of provide that kind of veracity. But it's also, prophecy is also a tool for us. It's being proven that young people who really don't have an interest in the Bible and are biblically illiterate for the most case are really fascinated by prophecy.
Yes, and I think that's why I chose the internet as an avenue for my personal witness, is because in today's society, a lot of people are ostracized if they even take an interest in Bible prophecy. They're called nuts, they're called wackos. But when people are alone in front of their computer with Google there,
mm-hmm.
they can say, well, who is Jesus? And type that in and learn all about him. And that's a powerful witnessing tool. People can learn far more than they can sitting in a pulpit on Sunday morning by reading articles that people have written on the internet, in a lot of cases, than they can going to their own local church. And Bible prophecy is something that stands out and shows this divine authorship. You had mentioned before the Pharisees and how Jesus rebuked them for not recognizing the signs of their times. They were told the exact year that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come to Jerusalem. In the book of Daniel, he says exactly how many years will transpire from the rebuilding of the temple until the Messiah appears and is killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And that's exactly what happened. And so what Jesus was saying, he was saying, not only with all of these prophecies and right in front of your eyes, but the very year, you should have been sitting back waiting for the very year that all of this would happen.
And we aren't that fortunate to know what the very year is now, though. He didn't give us that this time.
Right, that's correct. But what he did give us was a series of signs. And in Matthew 24, the disciples come to them and they say, what is the sign of your coming? And he tells them, and when he's finished telling them the very signs that we've just discussed, he says, when you see these things happen, look up and stand tall, because your redemption draweth near. Christ is coming. That's the big message that we should take from our talk here today. Jesus Christ is on his way, and if you don't know him, now's the time to get to know him.
And if you want to share with somebody, mm-hmm. and you're wondering, you know, I'm not sure it hasn't been the right time to do it, we don't know how long. And again, we're not trying to be freaky about it, but nevertheless, we just don't know, and it could be very soon. And so it should compel us to be more urgent in witnessing to those around us. But do it with in a winsome way, as you are doing now, Britt. And we appreciate the time we've been able to spend with you. We'd like to perhaps have you back on sometime in the future. I'd like to learn more about the nanotechnology and all those kinds of things, because it sounds fascinating from a lot of different perspectives.
Well, that would be great. Thank you very much for having me on today. I enjoyed it myself.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Britt. God bless you, sir.